Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Grab your bats! It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century, from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I am your TV guide, Brett White. I am also a reporter-producer for Decider.com, which is my cred. It's why I can talk about this stuff. This week I am joined by Megan Kay. Hello, Megan!
Hello!
Whee!
Yeah!
I usually welcome guests to Queens, but you live here.
Yeah,
I'm
three train stops away.
So, yeah, this was not that much of a trek.
But there was Shake Shack, so
yeah.
It made it all worth
it. I mean, that's like a peek behind the podcast curtain, is a lot of times before we tape, we go to Shake Shack or just the mall food court.
Yeah.
So some of these podcasts have been powered by Shake Shack, others by Panda Express and Charlie's Subs.
Regardless, you're like spiking that blood sugar, getting
yeah.
that energy up.
You have to get
talk
it up.
About some classic TV.
Yeah, you have to get it up. This week on the show, we are going to be traveling to April 8th, 1965. The Sound of Music ruled the box office. Stop in the Name of Love by the Supremes topped the charts. And CBS aired the Munsters episode Herman the Rookie. Megan, you must have seen Herman the Rookie before.
No.
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 You would have remembered it.
Truly.
What is your history with the Munsters?
So, like, none.
Ooh, coming in cold.
Yeah. So, I knew about the Munsters. I knew that they were Addams Family-esque. What I did not know was that they actually aired, like, their first episode aired a week after the Addams Family did.
Yeah.
I just Googled that. So
yeah.
I cheated.
No,
but
yeah.
I'm
no,
fascinated
that's
by that.
Because this is the, I grew up watching the Munsters a lot, because I think Nick at Night got Munsters first, and then maybe Addams Family later. Or actually, this is all faulty memory, I could have done research on, I should do research on when TV Land and Nick at Night aired these shows. Because there is really, I think really extensive research into like when all, like documentation of all that. But I feel like Munsters was a Nick at Night show, and then when TV Land launched in the late 90s, they had Addams Family and Munsters, and that's why I was like, ooh, I gotta get TV Land, because I want to watch Addams Family. But these two shows have this really insane similarity, or like, their fates are interlocked. They're like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like a kind of like Cable and Strife. They're like Cable and, they're like.
But no, but like, I even made that note when we were watching the show, was like, I was amazed by the fact that, like, they both kind of have this, like, blithe unawareness of, like, how weird they are compared to, like, everyone else.
It's so, because they both aired from 1964 to 1966. They both, both shows ran for two seasons. The exact same two seasons. And then, even crazier, what I think the real impressive thing is, 30 years later, the Munsters in the late 80s, early 90s had The Munsters Today, which was a reboot of The Munsters. And then the late 90s, mid to late 90s, there was another Addams Family series, a reboot of The Addams Family that aired on, I think it was a Canadian show, and it aired mostly on ABC Family. And both of those versions lasted longer than the original one.
Okay, that fascinates me, because, so, like, I had no idea they were rebooted.
Yeah. So that, it's so weird that both The Munsters and The Addams Family debuted, ran for 2 years, and then 20 to 30 years later had reboot series that both of them ran longer than the original ones. That is crazy.
That, were they like grim and grittier versions, or were they like
no, they were,
cool 90s
they
teens?
They were the exact same. Because weirdly enough, the Munsters today streams on Hulu. So if you want to watch the like late 80s version of the Munsters, you can watch that on Hulu. Oh. And the Addams Family, the modern Addams Family is so aggressively 90s. Imagine Addams Family, but in color, and everything is at Dutch angles. Everything, the camera is just tilted, constantly tilted. And the theme song, very true to 90s, is, it sounds kind of like the Garfield and Friends theme song. It's very like, Siesta, Addams Family, like it's,
oh yeah,
it's very like that was a thing in the 90s, was just like faux mariachi salsa shit. So yeah, they are inextricably linked. And you know, more recently they tried to relaunch the Munsters. Brian Fuller tried to do a Munsters relaunch like 5 years ago for NBC, an hour long like dramedy, with
So, This Is Us, but, like, with monsters.
Yeah, exactly. Jerry O'Connell was, I think it was, like, Rebecca Romijn was Lillian Munster. Jerry O'Connell was Herman Munster. And Eddie Izzard was Grandpa Munster.
Oh, that would have been really fun to watch, actually.
And instead of it going to series, they just aired the pilot as, like, a Halloween special and then just, like, quietly ignored it. And it was recently just announced a couple weeks ago that Seth Meyers is producing a modern Munsters. A Munsters set in Brooklyn.
Oh.
Like, that was just announced, like, within the last month.
That's interesting. So, were they originally in Brooklyn? Because, there are jokes about it being Brooklyn in the show.
Yeah, I looked it up, and both, because, I mean, spoiler alert, this episode is about sports teams, and both the Dodgers and the Rams were in L.A. at the time.
Oh.
The Dodgers moved from Brooklyn to L.A. in, like, the late 50s. Sports, spoiler alert, I'm not a sports person. This is going to come up a lot in this episode.
Oh, yeah. It's fitting, because I have no idea about sports whatsoever. So,
never seen Munsters, know nothing about sports, diving in.
I'm a great comrade for this episode. Yeah,
but you love monsters, right? Are you big on Halloween monstery stuff?
Yes, yeah. I love Halloween. I love the Addams Family, but I'm definitely one of those, like, I'm a fake geek girl Addams Family fan. Because I'm really, the only one that I'm really, like, into is the movie with Angelica Huston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As Morticia, because she's just so fucking great, flawless.
Yeah. And I love the Addams Family movies a lot. But I also really love the 60s show.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into this at some point on the show. I have the undying hots for John Astin's Gomez. Like, also, I mean, I think also just everyone, if you are attracted to men, and also maybe if you're not attracted to men, the hotness of Gomez, be it Raul Julia, be it John Astin, is just
undisputable. Yeah.
And then on the flip side, you have Herman Munster, who, in my notes, I wrote, big baby. He's just an oversized baby.
Giant baby with dad jokes.
Yes, God. I also wanted to talk about this, just to give readers a little tease, is because it's September and we're talking about the Munsters. So I wanted to just let all the listeners know that we're about to run a holiday gauntlet. Dun, dun, dun. I should put a music sting in there.
The best holiday gauntlet. Halloween is the biz.
We, starting in October, I'm going to announce this now, starting October, November, December are all holiday episodes.
You are goddamn welcome.
Yes, we are doing 4 Halloween episodes in a row. We're going to do 3 Thanksgiving episodes in a row, and then a normal episode, because I'm not going to drop a Thanksgiving episode on Thanksgiving Day and expect you guys to listen to it.
I mean, listen to it when you're in your turkey coma.
Yeah, like, right.
It's fine.
And you need to spend time with me on Thanksgiving. And then after that, 4 Christmas episodes.
Yeah, forgo your families. Listen to Brett.
So get ready. Must-have seen TV's Holiday Gauntlet will be kicking off October. And this is a little preview. It's not a Halloween episode, though, so it doesn't technically count.
Yeah, this episode is about sports.
Yeah, this episode is monsters playing sports. So yeah, this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Munsters episode, Herman the Rookie. It is the 29th episode of season 1. Dear God, 29th episode. That's so many episodes. It was written by Jill Connelly, Bob Mosher, and Dick Conway, and directed by Jerry Paris. Here's how Amazon describes the episode. Herman is given a tryout by Leo DeRoche. Is that a real person, BT Dubs? You should look him up. After his mighty drive sends a baseball sailing out of the ballpark, Megan, how accurate was that description?
It was accurate. It had all of the trappings of, okay, we're at episode 29. What do we do?
Oh, dear God, what's an idea? I don't know.
Have they played ball yet?
Oh, yes, Leo DeRocher. Okay. He was an American? Okay, here we go. I'm on Wikipedia because I feel like this was important. Leo Ernest DeRocher, born July 27th, 1905, died October 7th, 1991, nicknamed Leo the Lip and Lippy, was an American professional baseball player, manager, and coach. He played in Major League Baseball as an infielder. A controversial and outspoken character, DeRocher had a stormy career dogged by clashes with authority, the baseball commissioner, umpires. Oh, that explains that umpire joke. Okay. Cool, so we got it now. Okay, so that's who he is.
Yeah, there were like two characters that were like played themselves in the episode. Because there Leo DeRocher, who I just originally wrote as, you know, awful white guy.
Yeah.
Which was verified.
Yeah, later on by a thing that we cannot repeat on the podcast, probably.
Absolutely not. Jeez,
yeah, there's a racial slur in here, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the episode, I want, like, we don't have to go through this beat by beat plot because there is, this thing I'm discovering with a lot of these older shows is there is not a plot. It is Herman hits a baseball really far, a baseball person scouts him, he goes to try out, cartoon hijinks ensue, and they decide he cannot join the team because the cost of rebuilding Dodger Stadium every week would be too much, and insurance would not let other players on the field with him.
What was it? It was $75,000 in the 60s.
Yeah, oh my.
So, like, you would be rebuilding the field.
Yeah, that's like a million. That's like millions of dollars now.
That would have to be a
bananas
amount of
money. No, not worth it. Herman Munster, not worth it. Also, not a good baseball player. Like, they're like, it's like, can you aim the ball that you're knocking eight blocks away? And he's like, no. It just goes literally wherever. So, like, what would you say, what are your overall impressions of this episode, of watching it, the experience of taking the Munsters in for, I guess, the first time?
So, it's one of those things where, like, I'm sure I probably watched the Munsters at some point at my grandparents' house, because I know what Lily Munster looks like.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was the first thing I wrote when we were watching the episode, was just Lily's looks. Like, she yeah. just, I love it. I love that constructed, ghoulish glamour. I'm
yeah,
all about
also,
it.
Also, like, her hair goes to the floor.
Which I didn't realize.
I didn't realize that until watching this. I was like, oh, wow, that wig is, like, that's a wig.
Yeah.
It, like, kind of gets tanked, because she's wearing, and, like, umpire waist.
Yeah, like she's got, like,
gown.
The, yes.
A cape kind of thing.
She has this big flowy bell sleeve.
Yeah.
They're all
and
kind
the,
of...
The wig gets, like, mixed up in that, because it's
yeah.
just a bunch of, like, fabric swishing around the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up, like, the overall look of the show is impeccable. And while, like, you might not go to the Munsters for, like, top-notch comedy writing.
No.
Maybe not. Also, you might not go for, like, nuanced character work.
No, because I feel like the most consistent through line of this episode was people getting hit in the face with balls.
Yeah, which so. Made me laugh both times when they called it back at the end with a football. The thing that you yeah. go to the Munsters for is just, like, the impeccable vibe of it all. Because the things that it has going for it are the fonts, the theme song, the set decoration, and the makeup.
Yes. I'm impressed with how much we have consistently in our
okay.
notes. We
okay,
sat
good.
On separate couches
yeah, so
while
we
watching the episode.
Each other.
So we didn't,
like,
share our notes beforehand.
Going from the opening credits, which are just, I mean, they're so good that, was it Fall Out Boy sampled the song
mm-hmm.
In a recent pop hit, something about Uma Thurman.
She wants to dance like yeah, no.
Something. I don't know.
It's a Fall Out Boy song. Whatever.
I don't know. I don't like Modern Top 40 that much. Carly Rae Jepsen is great, though. Let's all cut to the feeling is the song of the summer. I called it. That's what I say. The theme song is so good. Then, like,
yeah.
I don't know who decided that, like, surf rock guitar is Halloween music, but I want to just give them a kiss on the mouth. because yeah. it's just a match made in heaven.
It really was. Because, like, again, like, I hadn't really remembered it, but I was struck by, like, how it all worked so well together in the opening theme.
Yeah.
Because just the, even the way that it was even, like, cut together a little bit and, like, time to the music was, like, really well done.
Because, like, you start off with, I mean, the, first of all, like, it's, like, the Munsters, like, outshot at the side of that, their haunted-ass looking house.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Los Angeles, which I'm like, that's such a, like, what part of Los Angeles is that in? I need to be more familiar with Los Angeles neighborhoods so I could really peg it. Echo Park? I don't know. I don't know.
They're at 87 and I don't know
either. I don't know either. I've been in LA twice. But then you see the font, like the font, do I think the font oozes on? The font is like, it's this really thick, it's like a thick, oozy, gothic looking font. It's green. It is in black and white, but you can just tell that it's green. And it's so well done. And then it cuts to, like, Lillian Munster standing there with, like, Herman's briefcase, and he, like, comes up to the staircase, mm-hmm. bends down and kisses her, and then runs through the entire family as they, like, greet her, or they, like, mm-hmm. say goodbye to her on their way to school, work, or, like, murder babies. I don't know what Grandpa Munster gets up to, but he tries to bite his own daughter in the opening credits.
Yeah, he has this, like, he has this, like, gimmick of, like, the inventor.
Yeah, he's, like, a kooky inventor type.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just such a great opening sequence. It really sells what the show mm-hmm. is. And I think there's also, it also really establishes how different it is from the Addams Family. Because I've watched the Addams Family from beginning to end a bunch mm-hmm. and do it every October. The Addams Family opening credits are all of them in a family portrait style, like, pose. And they're just leering at the camera. And it cuts to all of them one by one. The one in my head is, like, John Essence Gomez. He's, like, looking at the camera and kind of, like, menacingly smiling and, like, breathing. It's very ominous and unsettling. Whereas, like, the Munsters is like, well, they're all going off to work.
This was, like, yeah, this is exactly, like, what you would expect from, like, a sitcom opening. Like, this is, like, this is basically beat for beat, like, the Jetsons opening. Yes. Only instead of, like, spaceships, it's
monsters. People.
Right.
So what is the green light process of this show? That's the thing. I have so many questions, but, like, what was in the air at the time in 1964 where they're like, we need monsters in primetime? How did this happen?
I don't know, because I think Bewitched also came out that year.
It might have been, like, 63, 64 for Bewitched as well.
So there was clearly, like, some pull-through of, like, maybe it was a way that, like, were there, I wonder if there were, like, new, like, censorship laws or, like,
they could finally, like, do this stuff.
Right.
Because there was the whole comics code in the 50s where, like, you couldn't do anything even tangentially related to the occult.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that, like, lifted in the 70s, they're like, Werewolf by Night, Dracula, Blade, go for it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that lifted. I mean, it's my aesthetic. Like, I, in general, don't like horror, but I love this kind of, air quote, horror. I just love, like, 60s campy, kitschy monsters.
Oh, yeah. No, I honestly, like, I really wonder, like, if they have this, like, monster premise so that they can get around, like, certain tropes that, like, you couldn't get away with in a different sitcom of the same time.
Because,
like, we were kind of talking about this before the show where I was, like, the only piece of Munsters trivia I know from the back of a Snapple cap. Fact check me. Don't at me.
Yeah.
Like,
or at me if you have the real fact, but be nice about it.
Yeah. Also that. Was, like, the Munsters were, like, the first TV couple that, like, shared a bed together. Because before it was, like, separate beds, that whole thing. But because they were monsters,
you could do it.
They get down to the same bed.
Well, even, like, them being monsters, like, in this episode, you get to do, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think, an I Love Lucy episode or Dick Van Dyke episode where they, like, oh, they get scouted for a baseball team. It's like, I guess that's sure. But on this, you can do it because Herman is super strong and is basically a cartoon character, so you can do all these weird visual gags, like, Lucy, if Lucy throws a ball, it isn't going to, like, leave a hole in the catcher's mitt. The way that happens on here. That poor person's hand.
Potentially, throw a hole through another person's hand.
Jeez. Or, if Dick Van Dyke trips through a fence, he's not going to leave an outline of his body through the fence like Herman does in this.
Yeah. I feel like it, and plus too, it's easier, I think, it's easier to edit a way that Herman is, quote unquote, good at baseball. Terrible at baseball. Wasn't any good baseball played at all during this episode. No. But I feel like it's easier with him than it is with, you know, trying to make Lucy look like she's a baseball star.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a, so it's such, it's really, they can do really, like, kind of lame plots and kind of get a lot more mileage out of it because, like, well, they're monsters. Like, they're creepy. Mm-hmm. We can do this. The makeup on it is also, is it, it seems really good.
I would almost say that it's better than the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Like, I was so, part of it is because it's filmed in black and white, the yeah. makeup is so dramatic. And when they pull in close on the characters, you can see how intensely contoured.
Yeah.
Like, Grandpa's contour, like...
It's like some Drag Race.
Yeah.
Drag Race. I did write down, like, they enhanced Herman and Grandpa Munster's nostrils. Like, they add extra black around their nostrils yeah. to make their nostrils look bigger. And I'm like, is that...
It's like reverse nose contour.
Yeah, like, I don't know what the point of that is. Is that to make their nose look bigger?
Or, like, sharper?
It's a weird choice. But things like the way I couldn't see, like, the seam on Herman's flat top.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know where, like, he looks like a Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't tell, like, the contouring and everything on it is really good. And his mm-hmm. head look... His wrist, like, you can tell that's just, like, a line drawn around his wrist and some dots to be like, yeah, that's where it was stitched on. Like, whatever, not really. And, like, even Eddie Munster's, like, Deep Widow's Peak mm-hmm. looks good. It's
yeah.
His ears look good. It's really well done.
I really think it takes full advantage of the fact that it was shot in black and white.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, if you saw that, like, IRL... Like, or even in color, it would be so unbearable to look at.
Yeah.
But because it's shot in black and white, like, it blends, it
everything.
Adds this extra layer of blending to it.
Yeah.
So it's like, Herman can have a bunch of, like, dark eye makeup around his eyes where, like, probably where his little flat top thing kind of, like, ends. But because it's all, like, it's already, like, you get that extra veneer of, like, black and white over it, it's really, really seamless. It's really yeah. cool.
And it also does a good job of, even though it's black and white, selling the color. Because I feel like I can, in my head, picture what they all would look like in color.
Mm-hmm.
Really simply. And that's, like, Herman is obviously green. Like, it's so...
Grandpa is clearly super pale.
Yeah, it's really... That's really well done. And I love the costumes. I don't... Herman puts on a baseball uniform in this.
Which is tough because, like, his costume, admittedly, his baseball uniform looked stuffed.
yeah, like, he just looks like he's wearing a bunch of pillows. And I guess it works in the normal, the normal Frankenstein getup that he wears.
Yeah, because there's, like, that giant blazer
yeah.
over it. So you can kind of see his neck, like, floating in, like, close-ups
yeah.
of, like, floating amongst the pillows, if you will.
I also need to just quit. I should have done this beforehand, but I do need to look up. Can we just talk about how gay Herman Munster is?
Yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And now I'm trying to look up... Okay, no, Fred Gwynne, who played him, was not gay, married to women at least, and had 5 children. So Fred Gwynne, bisexual, maybe, most likely probably straight. I wrote down, like, plays him like a more humble Paul Lynde.
Mm-hmm.
The affectation of Herman Munster is very, like, oh, like, it's very...
It's so big.
It's so big. As a, like, very cowardly lion.
Yeah.
And there's something, there's real similarity to Paul Lynde. It's just that Paul Lynde as a character always has high status. Anything Paul Lynde does is high status, and he is being shitty to everyone around him. Whereas Fred Gwynne plays it like a low status Paul Lynde, where, oh, everything, I just want my way, whoa, like, he's a big baby, basically. That's what he is.
He is a giant baby. He's full of puns, which is, like, I feel like
yeah.
another, like, that's kind of puts him under the Paul Lynde umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And...
Oh, God, yeah.
I also noticed, and it's funny, because, like, I kind of had that, like, yeah, there's so much to his performance that, like, you were playing as far from straight as possible.
Yeah.
But, like, the
and
only...
Always.
He makes... Tell me if you read it this way, too, but I felt like when he was talking to Awful White Guy, he made a sexual pun about, like, second base.
Have you ever played baseball before?
Baseball?
Yeah.
Well, I've
I fooled around a little with the game. I played a little second base.
Oh, he did? I missed that.
I feel like that. I mean, that was kind of how I read it. Because, like, he's like, have you ever played baseball? And Herman Munster is like, well, I've been to second base. Oh. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I was like, are you hitting on him?
Yeah,
like,
that'd be nice.
Oh. But the only, it's not with Lily or anything like that. Like,
no.
His only potentially sexual subcontext
was with Mr. DeRocher
or whatever.
Because that's the other weird thing. Gomez and Morticia boning. Like,
always.
Like, Gomez cannot restrain himself, but stays within the boundaries of her respect. Like, or he never, like, it's not like he can't restrain himself, so he, like, takes advantage of her. He just showers her with adoration, and then when she is ready, he is there. Like,
picture perfect BDSM relationship.
They are
picture perfect,
amazing, and they're everyone's relationship goals. Everyone should be Gomez and Morticia. Lillian and Herman Munster are this weird maternal. They have, like, Lillian Munster has maternal vibes. There's no sexual chemistry. But basically because, like, Herman Munster himself is, again, a big baby, and he's not a sexy baby, because that would be weird.
He is not a giant sexy baby. Yeah, because the only moment of, like, real closeness they have, like, she has, like, one kind of affectionate, like, pet name for him. She calls him her pussycat at one point in the episode. But, like, that's not with him in the room. And,
yeah.
It's two grandpas?
Yeah. Oh, and there was a moment, like, at the end of the episode where Herman's, like, sad that he didn't get a job playing baseball. That's not how that goes. I don't think you get a job playing baseball, right? You don't say, like, I just got a job. I'm on the Dodgers. I don't think you say that, right? You say, I got drafted. I don't know.
Maybe.
Sports. But he is sad about that. Sports, whatever. He is sad about that, and Lily, like, gets, like, oh, but, like, I still need you. Like,
Herman, you must realize how much we all love you and need you, each in our own way, and I most of all.
And then, like, there's another bit right at the end where she was kind of, like, Don't you know we all love you? And
yeah.
We all need you right here. Nice. And then he just starts weeping like a giant.
Oh, like a giant baby.
Ugly crying.
I haven't cried like this since they canceled Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
It's ugly crying. And, like, they have to, like, hold something under it to catch his nonstop flow of water. It's just, like, faucets out of his eyes.
He's holding his hands up to his face.
Which, you know, are holding, like, little tubes or something
that are just, like, pouring water out.
There was a joke on the cold open of the episode where Grandpa Munster says,
I remember one day he said to me, son, as you go through life, always bury your mistakes.
Bury your mistakes?
Yes. You see, my father never believed in divorce.
Didn't understand that.
Does that mean that his grandfather murdered all of his wives? You bury your mistakes. He didn't believe in divorce. That means,
like,
you
straight up Henry VIII shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I was like, that's intense joke. I mean, they're monsters. So, like, whatever. We talked about, like, what doesn't work about this. Because I think what works, the vibe, the aesthetic, the look. What doesn't work?
I feel like there were... Yeah, because there was another, like... They definitely, because they're so kitschy, trope, sitcom at points, and physical comedy is such a huge part of it. And then,
you notice we're not bringing up any real quotes from this episode, because...
Not very quotable.
Not really that many.
Line that stood out the most to me was the one that was super racist, because we were like, oh, no.
Racist towards Hispanic people,
yeah,
Latino people.
Bad. And the second baseline.
Yeah.
But... For the most part, like, it was weird because you had these, like, very kitschy tropes of, like, you know, physical comedy and getting bonked on the head with a baseball.
Yeah.
And then there would be the throwaway lines where it's like, give my regards to your wife. Yes, last time I saw
Please give Mrs. Gateman my regards. The last time I saw her, she looked so natural.
That was, I liked that line. That was a really funny
line.
But
it's like dark, too.
Yeah, it's a real good.
It's like, and, last time I saw your wife was at her funeral.
Yeah. But like, those aren't, that's what I've discovered, or I've been reminded of, the fact that a lot of these 60s sitcoms were live action cartoons and weren't like joke machines. Like, I Love Lucy is a joke machine. That show is, it's mostly physical comedy, but it is of an artistry that is, transcends words. Like, it's so funny and still so good. And in the 70s, you get, like, the hard-hitting, like, we're going to talk about issues, or we're going to, like, do really weird, aggressive, progressive shit. 60s are this weird, nebulous time where, you know, Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, which we've both done on this podcast, The Munsters... There are these weird...
It's very fluffy, like, let's just keep our blinders on, like, let's not talk about the shit that's going on.
60s, serious time. Very serious time. I mean, when did Marilyn Monroe die?
That was early 60s.
So, because Marilyn Munster is, obviously, based on Marilyn Monroe, because she's a blonde bombshell who's in high school...
Who, maybe that's another one. Yeah, possibly in high school. I'm not sure. Looks like she's in her mid-20s at least.
How old is Pat Priest? This is my most Wikipedia-ing episode.
She was a character that, like, kind of threw me off a little bit, because when I saw her, I was like, oh, she's kind of like the... She's like the foil to all of the insanity that happens around her. And she wasn't used in that way, really, at all.
No, she... I mean, their whole game with her is like, oh, poor her, she's so ugly. Because it's like, she's beautiful, so therefore it's she's ugly to them. She was 28. She was...
So, ready to do some homework.
Yeah, ready to do some homework. She was 28 years old and very... Like, look, 28. Look like a nice, pleasant 28.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 26. I don't know. She definitely did not
look...
Yeah,
but she looked like a beautiful young woman who very was much, in no way...
Very much out of college.
Yeah.
Possibly settling down, like, getting into a career.
Maybe my headcanon is that she's just getting her, like, doctorate.
Oh, that's a show I would love
Doctor
to see.
Dr. Munster.
Oh, Dr. Munster. That'd be a good show. So I could say, like, what ages well in this...
I think the look does.
The look, yeah, because I love that. And no, but like, yeah, like the look.
Pause.
The look, because as you said, like the makeup still holds up, and like where it doesn't hold up in a really fun way.
Mm-hmm.
Like the exaggerated nostrils and like the extreme contour. Mm-hmm. Why there hasn't been a Drag Race Monsters challenge? Like, give me that.
Damn.
Give me like some Halloween realness. Really, go back to Party City. Ugh, love that. And, like, the vibe. I mean, obviously, like, the theme song was literally just in a hit song last year, 2 years ago. I don't know. But, like, that shit holds up still. And they're rebooting it. So the concept of Monster Family, timeless.
Mm-hmm. And I think even the concept of, like, bringing in, like, real-life famous people, quote-unquote, you know, famous
if
at
you
that
were
time.
A baseball official. Or if you, I guess if you love baseball now, probably, you might know who he is.
Right, but the idea of bringing in someone who, like, has some relative, like, fame and, like, having them just react to the Munsters' world is another thing that I think
that's
could,
fun.
Like, pull through. It just doesn't pull through if you don't know who they are.
Yeah. But I still, like, I mean, it's the same thing with Addams Family. Almost every one of these episodes is an outsider comes in, is just baffled by the existence of these people, and then they leave. Traumatized, or they get out, and they're fine, you know, and then Monsters keep going on. Fine.
Yeah.
Or the Addams could keep going on.
They were very, like, yeah, there was no, like, warmth or receptiveness to them at any point. Like,
yeah.
Herman was always, like, this, like, very monstrous figure.
Oh, yeah, they were like, he's not going to be winning any beauty contests and shit. Like,
yeah.
Also, in these universes, I guess that Frankenstein and the Wolfman and vampires don't exist in popular culture. It's the same thing in, like, in Walking Dead, when it's like, why don't they just say zombies? Because do they not have zombies in popular culture in that universe? Because I feel like if you see Herman Munster walking up to you on the baseball diamond, you're like, oh shit, a fucking Frankenstein's monster is lumbering over here. What? That's real? So that doesn't happen.
It's like they treat it like it is a real, like they really happened almost, where it's like, because there was that reference at the end where like, They're almost... The other thing that's kind of weird about it is it's like they're refugees.
Yeah, they're from Transylvania. That's right. Back in the old country, he used to be an athlete. All the villagers would just chase after him, screaming. Like.
So, this apparently, like, is meant to have really, quote-unquote, happened. But it is kind of... Again, it's one of those, like, it's oddly dark, and it's jarring against the, you know, like, slapstick. Herman just threw a roll in his face, but it's like... Wife died. I killed all my wives. We're refugees. Like, there, all of these very super, dark underlines.
There's a super interesting, like, cool metaphor for, like, you know, refugee, like, people from another country, but, like, they're from Transylvania and they're monsters, but they're still, like, trying to deal, cope with, you know, living in a new country, racism, prejudice. That doesn't really happen. It doesn't really happen on the monsters, but it could.
No.
That's the thing that could happen. So, like, what... doesn't work, the racist comment about the baseball players.
Oh, God.
Obviously, like, that was surprising.
Throws you out of it so fast.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow. Also, the reference, I didn't... In Petrified Forest? I don't know what that means.
I didn't.
And that's another thing I should Google, like, what Petrified Forest...
I don't even remember the context of the line.
I didn't, like, there... I don't know. I just know that it was, like... those blanks in a petrified forest, I think. I have that. So that does not work.
Everything about it real bad.
That's over.
Everything
that does not work. And then, like, I want more jokes. For a show about, like, a monster family, I feel like there are just so many. So many more jokes.
Yeah, and beyond just, like, Herman's endless... everything Herman says is a pun.
Yeah.
And it's always like, baseball season is short this year because I just hit your ball out of the field. Like, they were so just, like, cringy. And
and that's what definitely doesn't age well about this show, maybe. This episode definitely is, like, the pacing of it is... I mean, this is true of... you know, a lot of shows compared to nowadays where you have 20 minutes, you have to get in, get out, super fast. This show, like, I... honestly, after the... him crying, immensely crying, I thought we were gonna hit credits. And then it faded to black and then came up again and we got two more scenes. And I wrote down, how much more, ... Because I was like, what is happening? It was like, this is done. This is getting sweaty. You gotta, like, go to the credits. And they had a needless scene of Grandpa Monster watching a cooking show making upside down cake, which I think was just for the joke of him hanging like a bat and watching a show about making upside down cake.
And that was, like, the entire reason. And it wasn't because, like, really, we got nothing but, like, Lily and Grandpa scenes and then, like, Herman and Eddie's scenes.
Yeah.
They were very rarely, like, in the same place. They were in the same place, like, once when he got the offer to be on the baseball team.
When they had that dinner.
Yeah. And then once at the end when he was telling everyone that he didn't get signed on.
Yeah. And so, and then we cut to the real end, which it honestly should have come up from black on this scene, which was them playing football with Eddie, and then basically the whole cycle begins anew where he, like, punts a football, and it hits a guy 8 blocks away, and the same reporter that was with the baseball guy is like,
Mr. Hirsch, take my advice. Forget it. If you don't want to wind up going out of your skull.
Again, most consistent through line, getting hit in the face with the ball.
I really like, it was the football one was funnier. A baseball is small, so it only hits like it pops off the head. Funny. A football, like, it clobbered him in the face. Like, I think it hit him, like, long ways, and it just, like, smashed his entire face. Pretty great. Pretty good. Another thing to point out is, while this has a laugh track, it is 100% a single-cam show. Like, that is the canniest canned laughter ever. Like, honestly, like, the recording on that laughter sounds like it's peaking and bad.
It also extended a couple times like it was coming in almost like half a second too late, half a second too soon.
Yeah,
it was layered very poorly.
Because it's weird. And I noted there is a time where you can really tell that it's a single cam show. Aside from all the on location shoots at a baseball diamond, which you cannot, that obviously wasn't a soundstage. And you can't cart an entire studio audience out to the bleachers and then like mic them properly. And that's a nightmare. When they're all sitting around the table, all four of them sit on each sides and Eddie's back is to you. Which, if you're on a stage, on a multicam show, it's always everyone is gathered around with a blank, with one of the sides blank, side close to the audience. And I wrote down, like, you never see that on a sitcom. If someone's sitting around a table, only three of the sides are being sat on.
No one gave a shit about Eddie that time.
Yeah. And then, when Eddie talks, they actually cut to him and show the reverse, which on a sitcom soundstage, you can't show the fourth wall. Like,
very close up on him.
Yeah. So, could you do this entire episode today? Like, I don't know. Like, would this kind of comedy work?
I think there are aspects of, like, the physical comedy that could be kind of fun.
Yes.
Like, Herman's playing at the field was fun, because they were, like, hit the ball, and he, like, of course, the first one is just kind of, like, establishing that he's ridiculously strong, flies out, but then, like, the next one, he, like, knocks the sign off, drives the ball underground because he hits it so hard.
Is it a grounder? And he's, like, vroom.
Right in, yeah. And then there was him fielding, and, like, knocking people
over. The sped-up footage.
Yeah.
Every time, like, there's one, like, he throws the ball, and a guy catches it, and the film speeds up to show him tumbling backwards super fast. It's fun. Fun tricks and stuff.
It would be hard to translate, I think, today, though, because there was that scene, though, where he, like, throws the ball, like, literally through a guy's hand.
Yeah.
And that would be hard to pull off today without making it super gory.
Yeah, like, because we would have to be like, that's weird. I mean, I think this is an animated show now. Like, honestly, it's weird. Like, the Munsters should be an animated show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised they haven't. Addams Family had a cartoon in the 90s, but Munsters, I don't think, has ever had a cartoon.
Or it's just, like, a very, like, dark, like, comedy with Hannibal-esque, like, murder tableaus.
Well, and Brian Fuller did Hannibal, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and he did, almost there. It was so... I didn't watch that Munsters pilot, and I really kind of want to now, because it might actually be everything we're hoping for. Like, that might have been the thing that we needed from this. I can now move on to some trivia about the episode.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So, season one of the Munsters averaged 24.7 million viewers.
What?
Yeah, 24.7.
What is a good viewing by today's standards? Is it, like, getting, like, a million people to watch?
Most, like, your average sitcoms, I think, like, Big Bang Theory does, like, 16 million, about.
Oh, that's so sad.
Your, like, good places, like, your NBC ones, your, like, ABC ones are probably around, like 4 to 6 million or so.
So this was doing, like, double what, like, a popular sitcom.
Yeah.
Which,
Like, that's...
Big Bang Theory is terrible.
Oh boy.
Bananas.
So for the season, for the 1964-1965 TV season, it was number 18. It was 18th. Like, the number one show, I think, had, like, 33 million viewers. It was tied with Gilligan's Island.
Oh.
So that just, like, stamps it right there.
A show I have seen.
Mm-hmm. Which is more believable, Gilligan's Island or the Munsters? Or which is more,
Gilligan's Island.
Which is more serious about its comedy and its craft?
Gilligan is more serious about its comedy. Munsters is more serious about its craft.
Oh, definitely. Because Gilligan looks like it was shot on a shoestring budget.
Oh, yeah. So, tiny. What can I do with fucking coconuts this week?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. Let's not go to the other side of this island ever. So for the season, the top five shows of that season were number five, The Fugitive. Number four, The Andy Griffith Show. Number three, The Andy Griffith Show spinoff, Gomer Pyle USMC. Number two, Bewitched. And number one, Bonanza. So The Munsters was number 18 for this season. It fell to, like, number 61 in season two. Like, it fell so hard.
I mean, considering the decline we saw just in what we watched.
Yeah.
It's not entirely surprising.
Yeah. It's like that. It's such a, I don't know if they like moved it to a different time slot, if that like really was a factor back then. But it is really fascinating to me that both this and Addams Family, I guess it was like for a year, we were like super in on monster families. And then the next year they were like, no, thank you.
Oversaturation.
Done. It's so weird. And then it fell that hard. So on IMDb, 102 users voted and rated this episode an 8.4 out of 10.
I want to hear some explanation behind that.
This is the highest rated episode of The Munsters.
Really?
According to Munsters fans on IMDb, this is the best episode.
Oh.
Take without what
there,
you want.
There go all of my theories about this being like, episode 29, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. Like, I don't know, play baseball.
When you watch this... Oh man, I would like to dive into the like the Munster Reddit communities and like find out what is the oh man, I really love it when he hits that ball and it goes underground. Like, what are the moments in this that you just like love so much that you're like, this is the best?
This is classic Munsters.
This is the greatest.
Also, I feel like we started a flame war with the Munsters Reddit because we were not very kind to this episode.
Come at me. No, I think that listen, where we agree, Munsters Reddit, a sentence I...
When you listen.
Yeah, well, I never thought I would say. He's like, honestly, this is one of the best art-directed sitcoms of all time, maybe? Like, the set is great, the costumes are great, the hair, the makeup, the look of it, everything from the font to the theme song. It is one of the strongest aesthetic sitcoms I can think of. My only complaint is I want more jokes. I want a lot more jokes.
Smarter jokes.
Because there are some in here. That funeral, that, like, she looks so natural line, great.
Yeah, the best jokes, honestly, were, like, the dark fucked up ones.
Yeah, because...
So, like, just cash in on that.
It's a family of monsters. Get fucked up. Or play with the clash of fucked up and suburban. Like, Leave It to Beaver, but they're monsters. Addams Family... I'll admit it. I'm an Addams Family person. I'm Team Addams. Hashtag Team Addams in this. Because that show is weirder and is aggressively weirder. Mm-hmm. That show is always throwing a visual gag at you or something just like really insane that you're like, why is this happening? Why are there train sets all of a sudden? Why is that bear growling again? Like, what is this?
And it's woven into the dialogue so much more, too, from what I know of it. Yeah. There's so much more clear, like, oh, that's terrible, meaning we love it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, everyone has a character game, and they all play it super hard in Addams Family. It's like, they love torture. Mm-hmm. They love creepy things. They're, like, cutting, you know, roses off of pet, like, stems or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's all over the place. Where, like, you don't really get that. Like, Munsters is literally, like, Leave It to Beaver, but they're all dressed as monsters.
But the creepy, like, off-putting lines kind of, like, sneak up on you.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see Herman, like, accidentally hit himself in the face with a frying pan, but then also we're talking about, like, Henry VIII level murdering of wives.
Yes. So, like, do more of that.
Do more of the latter. And so, like,
that's why I was really happy to hear that, like, Seth Meyers and, like, writers that he trusts are doing the new Munsters. Because I'm like, if you just grab, like, Chuck Lorre or just one of the modern, like, multicam sitcom hacks that just churn out stuff, I would be like, oh, great, it's going to be bad. But I trust, like, legit comedy writers that, like, are coming through, like, the SNL factory and stuff that are, like, good on satire and really keen on details and really know character game and stuff like that. I trust them to be able to do, like, Munsters in Brooklyn in modern day and make that a potentially weird-ass show. So, excited to see that. Who would you say had the must-see performance in this episode?
I feel like you kind of have to give it to Herman.
Yeah. I do like Grandpa Munster a lot. I think Al Lewis is just a funny guy. It's a funny, Catskills. Like a Catskills style insult comic as a vampire grandpa is just a funny character.
It's a great premise, right?
Like, this is a great, I love, like, amazing. And as a kid, I would watch Munsters, but I hated Herman. I mean, as a little kid, I hated, I found the way that he laughs.
It's so grating.
I found it so off-putting as a kid. Yeah. I was like, I don't... And the way that he would, like, stomp his feet like a baby, it would make me so angry as a child. I would just be like, this is dumb. I don't like this, but I love Grandpa.
Yeah, and I love Lily. Like, she also has, like, she has moments that I think are really, like, smart and clever. Like, some of the better lines were hers.
So who gets your MSP? Who's your must-see? It's so hard. I want it. Herman is obviously the star of this episode and probably every episode, so.
Yeah, I mean, Herman in this episode is, just because I think of that scene with him trying out, really good at sports, guys.
Sports ball.
But where he's trying out for the baseball team, that is, like, great. Has great moments.
Also,
Lily is admittedly still my favorite, so I kind of want to, like, bias give it to her.
Fred, also, like, I have to give props to Fred Gwynn for going out in what was probably a hot day in probably one of the most unforgiving costumes I've ever seen. Because not only heavy makeup, a hat on top of that, and then also just so many couch cushions.
On, like, what were they, like, 6-inch platforms?
Yeah, on, like, crazy 6-inch platforms. So it's...
At one point, he bends down to pick up something, and I was like, he's not going to bend down to pick that up. There's no fucking way he can get down there. And he did!
Jeez. Yeah, so, yeah, I'll give it to Fred Gwynn, just because, like, you deserve it for just surviving that shoot.
True.
Must other people see this episode?
Well, apparently, according to the Munster Reddit.
They love it. IMDb loving this episode. I honestly feel like, watch the Munsters opening credits on YouTube. Because that honestly has everything that is perfect about this show in it.
Yeah, that gives you the best, like, the best look at what the premise is for the show.
Yeah.
And then if that is enough to intrigue you, then why not give this a shot?
Yeah. And I also find it... I also have to believe that there are better episodes. I mean, maybe not much better.
I think see episodes with Marilyn, where she has more presence.
That's, or more grandpa episodes. That's what I would... So I do believe that there's probably a better Munsters episode out there. I will get to it at some point on this podcast, I'm sure. Maybe next Halloween, if there's a Halloween Munsters episode.
Every episode is a Halloween. Yeah,
every
episode
is soft a Halloween episode. So I would say, like, read the synopses, because also I was kind of bummed that the consensus was that this baseball episode was the best one. So I'm like, in general, like, I'm not a baseball person, so I'm like,
yeah.
There was, I think the one before this was like Herman the Movie Star. I'm like, that one maybe I would have been more into.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I care about that stuff.
An episode where they meet Marilyn. I assume she doesn't, like... I'm assuming she, like, moves in with them.
Yes, I think she is the new character in the pilot. And there were a couple of Munsters TV movies that were about... That I think either rebooted it, or there were a couple of reunion movies. Also similar to Addams Family, both the original Munsters cast and the original Addams Family cast had reunion TV movies. The Addams Family one is on YouTube, and it is fantastically weird because it's in color, but not on the original. Not on the original set. It's like they found just like an old house, and then just like shot it on videotape, so it also looks bad, and it's really brown and orange.
Ooh.
So I highly recommend it. John Astin plays dual roles. Yeah, so any final thoughts about Herman the Rookie?
I proved that I knew less about baseball than I initially even thought.
But now you know more about the Munsters.
More about the Munsters.
Yeah, and now viewers or listeners are getting a taste of the upcoming Holiday Gauntlet Phase 1 Halloween.
And that abruptly does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV, because I goofed up the recording and lost the last minute of the episode. But whatever. Thanks again to my guest, Megan Kay, for dropping by and talking about the Munsters with me this week. If you want to drop her a line on Twitter, you can reach her at M-K-O-K. That is at M-K-A-Y-E-O-K. Next week, I'll be discussing the Night Court episode, All You Need Is Love. All You Need Is Love is the pilot episode of Night Court. It is season 1, episode 1, and you can watch that Night Court episode on Amazon or iTunes. Until then, you can follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr, and at Must Have Seen TV. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review Must Have Seen TV in iTunes. You can follow me personally on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. You can read the words that I write at Decider.com. You can check out my sitcom t-shirts and stickers at tpublic.com/user/Brett White. The theme song is Patricia's Moving Picture by The Go Team. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to all of y'all for listening. And I'll see y'all next week on Must Have Seen TV.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.